Ghost Stories Online.
When you sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person to Real Ghost Stories Online, you'll have access to the best ghost stories we've ever told.
The oven doors started slamming open and closed. And in places like this, oven doors take up entire walls.
Never before had I seen such clear evidence of something non-human being in a room with me.
Because it felt like somebody was here. You know, you see, I did it written in paint, where you just painted.
These are stories only EPP members have access to.
I don't know why, but I just wonder if that scream isn't a family member that was there to claim their loved one.
There was like something standing there right in the threshold of the doorway, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't breathe.
It's only $5 a month when you sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com by clicking Become an EPP.
There was an old lady standing at the foot of the bed, and she said she could see details and everything. You know, it just looked like an old lady standing at the foot of the bed.
You'll get access to the best ghost stories and exclusive video content we've ever created.
I have no doubt in my mind that it was completely supernatural.
But it felt like it was in my head. Like, it didn't feel like I was hearing it. It felt like it was in my head.
Become an EPP now and help keep our show on the air. At realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Phone number 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us, but you probably already knew that. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, email us your audio file if you record it on your mobile device if you're overseas and don't want to do the 800 number. You can email the story then to Jenny, J-E-N-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So there you go. That's how you get your stories into us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We posted a photo earlier on the Facebook about, it was a creepy photo that Oscar in Dallas sent us. And it was one where he said, hey, I didn't know if who to turn to, so I'm asking you if you could help me identify a strange creature that was allegedly shot at a ranch in East Texas. I know it's not a ghost, but this picture is pretty cool. I thought viewers would enjoy it. My cousin says it's real, but I wasn't there. Do you think it's a demon? And it looks like someone who's in camo with a gun next to them holding up this creature that looks like kind of a dog-ish face, but has like human hands and human-ish feet. And it's creepy. It's a very creepy-looking photo, and you can see it on our Facebook page. But posted it up there just saying, hey, what do you guys think? Any feedback? And lots of people had different opinions. But then somebody, J.R. Earls, one of our listeners, posted a picture of pretty much the same thing. And it looks like it was a prop from a haunted attraction of some sort.
Yeah.
But it just shows when you make a picture kind of grainy, you put the rest of the setting out there, because it wasn't just this, which I think would have been more prone to making people say, oh, it's probably a prop of some sort. But you had the man there that looks like a big hunter, big game hunter man with the gun and the camo and all that. And he's holding this thing up like, look at my prize shot. It adds this whole other dimension of, well, this must be more legit.
Yeah.
So not all pictures are real. We already know that.
We do.
But nonetheless, if it starts making the rounds, you know what it is. Creepy. Nonetheless, the photo that was that JR submitted to us, very clear, not grainy, not done in the dark. Mm-hmm. And you can clearly see this is a prop-like item. But the one that that Oscar had been looking at, a little bit, you know, out of focus, kind of dark, and kind of, you know, gives it more of that mystique. But nonetheless, I'm always interested if you got a photo you want us to show out there and try and get some answers on. Of course, you can always send it to us. And of course, a lot of them, this one not being a ghost photo, but a lot of the ghost photos we end up putting onto to seeing ghosts. So if you want to submit something for that, our next episode of that, you can do so right now. You can email that to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. All right. Shall we go to a phone call?
I think so.
And hear a ghost story? Hi, let's hear yours.
Hey, guys. I just started listening to the podcast on Spotify.
and calling in had given me the idea. I've always been interested in the paranormal. My name's Kelly Rath. When I was over in Afghanistan, we were sitting at a control point. We were right outside of a nomad graveyard, and my assistant operator and myself were in the truck, and we were doing 50 on, 50 off. I would be asleep, he could stand watch, vice versa. Well, I was dozing, and I just, something told me to open my eyes. I opened my eyes, and on the hood of the truck, laying, it would be on like his stomach with his chin in his palms, looking directly through the windshield, like right into my eyes, was a middle-aged looking man with a turban and a beard. And at this point, I freaked. I slip on the lights, and he's gone. So I look over at my assistant, and I'm like, did you see that? And the assistant, white as a ghost, he just looked at me and said, I didn't see a thing. And we both knew we saw what we saw, but it's something I could never explain. It's something I've thought about a lot. And I've encountered paranormal my whole life, growing up in a haunted house, and so it really interested me and made me think, why did they come to us? But that's my story. I plan on listening as long as you guys keep going. So keep up the good work, guys. Thank you. Bye.
I don't know why they come to you. Sometimes I think it's just they can tell something about people that we can't by looking at one another. They can just know who's going to see them or not.
I agree. I agree completely. And I think anywhere you are in the world, you're going to have ghosts. And, you know, very reflective of the area you're in, what people would be wearing. So that's, I mean, it's probably a local ghost.
Could be.
For lack of a better, that's really all it is. You know, that's probably exactly what you saw. And I can imagine being very, very disturbing and scary. You know, not only you're already in a very intense area and very emotionally driven situation, but then, you know, to be disturbed by not only real people, mm-hmm. but then you get that into the mix as well.
Right.
So, yeah. Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this caller and hear your real ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Sandy calling you from Monterey Bay area in California. I wrote to you about a week ago, and I decided to get up my courage to call this time and share another story about the home we are currently living in. I've been binge listening to your podcast while I clean my barn and do horse chores for a couple months now, and I'm up to January 2016, and I'm about to load the two latest EPP episodes, and then I'll be current on those. I love your podcast so much, and yes, I am an EPP, and it's worth every penny. Actually typed this all up so I won't ramble or go out of order. We moved to this house a little over a year ago. A few months after we moved in, we purchased a beautiful antique mirror from a local antique store. I know what you're thinking. If I'd been listening to your podcast already, I would have never bought an antique mirror. I fell in love with this mirror the minute I saw it and had to have it. We hired a handyman to hang it because it's quite ornate and really heavy. The handyman came out one day and took all the measurements. Then he came back the next day after he'd gotten all the supplies he needed. When he came back the second day, he told me that his best friend in the whole world had died suddenly and very unexpectedly the night before, and he was still in quite a bit of shock over the news. He and my son got the mirror hung, which was quite an undertaking because the mirror is really heavy, and then he went on his way. Since I've started listening to your podcast, I no longer look at this mirror if I'm walking past it at night. It's hanging in the main hallway of the house that leads from the living areas to the bedroom, so I have to walk past it all the time. Coincidentally, I've also stopped looking at my clock if I wake up in the middle of the night, because it seems like it's always 3:33 a.m. when I wake up, and it totally freaks me out. Some strange things have happened in the last few months, and I'll share those stories with you and the listeners. About a month ago, my 21-year-old son and I were home alone. My husband works up in the Bay Area during the week, and my 19-year-old daughter was up in the Bay Area staying with some friends. It was a Sunday evening, and I was watching my favorite show, Game of Thrones. I should note that we live in a really, really rural area. We have 11 acres, and you can't see any of my neighbors' homes from our property. Pretty isolated. My son decided to run into town to get a sandwich for dinner. At about 7:45, he said he was leaving, and I figured he would be back around 8:30 because it takes about 20 minutes to get to the shopping center where the sandwich place is located. About 15 minutes after he left, I heard the back door open and close, followed by the sound of someone walking really quietly, like they were creeping around. I paused my TV show and listened and definitely heard footsteps. I called out to my son, thinking that he must have forgotten something and come back, but there was no reply. Now I was pretty much freaking out that I had an intruder, but none of my four dogs was alarmed or barking, and they hear everything. So I had a Nancy Drew moment and decided to search the whole house. I grabbed a big butcher knife out of the drawer, then figured if there was someone in the house, they would probably get the knife and use it on me before I could use it on them. So I put it back and just grabbed my cell phone. I searched the whole house and found nothing. About 25 minutes later, my son came back, and I asked him if he had come back in for something after he left, and he said no, but he'd gotten straight in the car and left. I told him what happened, and he and I searched the whole house again, all the closets, showers, etc., and found nothing. We were both sort of freaked out, and my son told me that a couple of times when he's been in his bedroom napping, he's heard his bedroom door open, and when he looks, there's nobody there. Twice I've been sitting at my desk, which is in a hallway alcove, this time. I've heard a really loud thud on the side of my house next to my laundry room. These thuds were so loud that I heard the windows rattle, and I couldn't for the life of me figure out what had made the noise. Both times was in the middle of the day, and when I investigated, I found nothing. About a week ago, I was sitting at my desk again, working on my computer, when I heard a loud splash coming from my backyard. I had a window open, so I clearly heard it. It sounded like someone had jumped into our swimming pool. My first thought was panic that one of my crazy chickens, who free range in my backyard during the day, had somehow fallen or jumped in. So I jumped up and ran outside. Not only was there nothing in the pool, but the water was undisturbed and there was no water splashed anywhere on the pool deck. And I would think that if an animal had fallen in and gotten right out again, the water would be disturbed and the pool deck would be wet. I know I heard something large splash into that pool, so it completely baffled me. 3 nights ago, last Thursday, my daughter and I were home alone. I had walked into our guest room, which is directly at the end of the hall, to get something. And as I was walking out and left to go to the laundry room, out of the corner of my eye, I saw my daughter walking down the corridor towards the bedrooms from the family room. And I said, "Oh, hey, Bun, can you close your bedroom windows? It's getting really cold." She didn't respond, so I backed up and looked again, and she wasn't there. I know I saw a female figure with long hair like my daughter walking towards the bedrooms. Coincidentally, right in the area where that mirror is. I went to the family room and asked her if she had just walked down the hall, and I could tell by the way she was all wrapped up in a blanket with two dogs in her lap that she hadn't, and she confirmed that she had not left the couch. So those are my current stories, and I'm really curious to hear what you guys think about them. I'm not getting any sort of bad feeling from the things that have happened, and I suppose a lot of it can be explained as not paranormal, but I do feel like something odd is going on. I've also had many, many vivid dreams about my oldest son's father who passed away 3 years ago, where I wake up and feel his presence in the room with me. I totally believe in astral projection, and I read a book once that talked about the fact that humans have a physical body and an astral body, and that your astral body leaves your physical body during sleep and goes and visits other worlds. And the following sensation you get during dreams is your astral body being pulled back into your physical body if you're woken abruptly, which is something kind of cool to think about. I love your show so much. Jenny makes so many comments that I yell same to while I'm listening. You guys are awesome, and thanks for the great podcast. Bye for now, and I'll call another time and share some more stories.
I kind of think maybe the splash was like some kind of residual haunting that you just hear it, but obviously nothing has splashed, nothing's gone into the pool or gotten out of the pool.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe just, you know, that's just something that has to do with the history of the mirror.
I was waiting for her to say, "And we don't have a pool."
Yeah, yeah, I would think that that could happen too, even if you didn't.
Because we do get a lot of stories like that where, it, you know, essentially the equivalent has happened, mm-hmm. where it's like, and I heard this engine rev up in my garage, and it sounded like a motorcycle, and I don't have a motorcycle, you know,
yeah.
where it's stuff that theoretically could be there but is not there. But, I mean, the same can happen, too, with things that are there but are the sound is really truly not emanating from it.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it almost even more confusing
mm-hmm.
because you think, well, if it's making that sound, the thing's right there, it should be doing it, but it's not. As far as what it is, who it is, I have no idea. It doesn't sound like it's really trying to do a whole lot of harm. It just almost sounds like it's either some sort of interdimensional thing or it's some sort of residual thing that's just kind of doing its stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's very easy, I would think. You know, if you see, you know, it's talking about the daughter and saying that she saw her daughter walking through the house and said something and she kind of ignored her and kept going. I think we naturally, no matter who's walking around your house, if for example, I saw someone who was our oldest girl's height walking around and same color hair, and I just saw it in passing, I would immediately assume that was her.
Yeah, and I think that's just how we are.
Yeah, you wouldn't, like, want to make sure it's you. You know, you're
right.
Not going to go and investigate it that far. You're just going to think, oh, that's her, and make your comment and ask her to shut the window and go on your merry way. So you probably didn't see her. You naturally assumed it was her.
Mm-hmm.
But it probably has something to do with all these other things, but it sounds like it's fairly harmless.
Yeah.
But good for a good ghost story.
It is.
It kind of reminded me of the ghost story and that goes back to the old Unsolved Mysteries, and kudos to anyone who remembers this one. It was the older couple that was sitting at the house, and one of them would be upstairs, and one of them, I think it was the wife, who the husband would get up early, and then she had this little bell that she would ring.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like a bunk bed bell. It was, I was looking around, if I know Harp had one the other day. I was playing.
Just like a little.
Yeah, a little dingy, ding, uh-huh. ding, ding bell. And she would ding it if she needed the husband upstairs, because it stood out.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept going upstairs because she kept hearing this bell.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a time where she was dinging the bell, and then she saw somebody walk by the door, never came in to help her, and then she was kind of perturbed, like, well, what are you doing? And then she went down the hall to the dead end of the hall, thinking her husband was down in the bathroom, and not there.
Nobody's there.
Nobody's there. And it was pretty much the same sort of thing. She assumed it was the guy. It wasn't. It mm-hmm. was somebody else. Or a ghost, and that's kind of the same sort of situation. But that was really it. I mean, just kind of like something's there, not doing a whole lot other than just kind of being an annoyance.
Yeah.
So thanks for that that story. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, Robert.
Hello, my name is Robert. I'm from Bullhead City, Arizona. I was calling you guys. I have a pretty cool story that I want to tell you. If it doesn't give you chills, well then... might be something wrong with you. Just kidding. Anyways, so my story is me and my ex-wife. Yes, she's my ex, but we were together at the time. Probably, I'm going to say about 6 years ago, we got our first place together, and we were still pretty much learning stuff about each other. And she had told me. One time when she was younger, she played with a Ouija board with her and her friend when they were younger. And they got so freaked out at what happened that they didn't go through the proper procedures of closing the doors. Well, evidently, a little girl had come through, as she puts it, and had been harassing her for much her whole life ever since she played with the Ouija board. I was kind of skeptical because I've never really dealt with anything like that before. So I told her, you know, it was pretty stupid that you played with it because I obviously know what a Ouija board does. And she told me she still had the Ouija board. So being me and probably anybody else, I didn't know what to do. So I took that thing and I put it in the trash as fast as I possibly could. It was the last I ever seen of it. But then we worked the late shift. So we got off, 1 in the morning. We get home, and normally we'd stay up till roughly about 3:30, and just before we go to bed, or as we're going to bed, she would have these fits in the middle of the night, throwing her hands up, kind of screaming, crying in a way, her fingers would move like very fast, like something was possessing them in a type way. So I got to the point where I wouldn't go to sleep with her at night. I would let her go to sleep first, and then I would go to bed shortly after her, because I was, well, one, it freaked me out, and two, I'm not going to deal with that. So that continued on for a month or so. Then one night we decided to go to bed a little early, and being, you know, the cutesy couple, it was dark in our room. I was playing and tickling her, you know, making her laugh, and it's pitch black. We have no light in the room. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, right out of the crying, right out of the laughing, she is crying. And I'm like, what the heck did I do wrong, right? You know, because all I did was tickle her. So I got up, I went and turned the light on and went over to her, and she was facing the opposite way of me, and I rolled her over. And she was just looking at me, blank stare. She wasn't crying anymore, and there was no tears coming out of her eyes, because it was a legitimate cry, like somebody had punched her in the face or something like that. So I asked her what was wrong, and she sat up, she crossed her legs, put the pillow in between her legs, and stared straight forward. And I'm sitting there puzzled, like, are you trying to play a game on me or something, or a trick on me? And then all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, oh crap. I was like, I have a bad feeling about this. So I asked, being me, you know, I asked, are you the girl that constantly bothers her all the time? And she didn't say anything for a minute, just kept staring at the wall, very slow breathing. And I asked again, and she turns and looks at me, blank stare, looks back at the wall, and says, haven't you ever wondered why she stares off into the distance sometimes? And at this point, I've got goosebumps, I'm freaking out, but I'm not gonna run. You know, they always tell you not to run, stay calm. So this is what I did. And I told her, I said, why don't you just leave her alone? There's absolutely no reason to bother her or bug her or ruin her life. And she didn't say anything. And then a couple seconds after that, her head dropped. She stayed completely sitting up, but her head dropped. And then her head came back up, and she's looking around the room, completely coherent again, and asked why the light was on and why she was sitting up. So at that moment in time, I was like, okay, this is a little creepy. So I told her to sit right there on the bed. I grabbed my cell phone, I walked all the way out of the house into the middle of the house. I called my mom. My mom three-wayed my grandma, and I explained what happened, and I was talking to them, and I'm still freaked out. She comes out of the house, and we have a yard that's fenced in. She comes out of the house, and she stands next to the fence, and she says, Robert, you're freaking me out. What is going on? And I told her just to stay where you're at and let me continue this phone call. And above our house, we have a really big, like, street light, but it was off to the side, so it was over our house. So she walked over and stood next to it, and my grandmother told her to pray whatever prayer she knows off the top of her head. So I told her to do that, and then I continued talking to my mom and my grandma. And as I was looking at her, that street light started to flicker, and I'm staring right at her, and I shit you not, her face shifted from left to right and then stopped, and I dropped and hit the ground, and I was done with that. That was it. I couldn't take it anymore. But after that, I got off the phone, I got her to go back to sleep, and then that was the end of that story. We took precautions. I called a buddy of mine whose family's Catholic. I got Jackie out of the house, my ex-wife, sorry, and his mom came in and she blessed the house with holy water and put trinkets around. I never had anything with her like that again. She did have a little fits here and there, but I was able to start going back to sleep at the same time she did, and never really encountered it ever again. There are a couple other small stories that I have, which I'll call in later with. But I wanted to share this one with you because even telling you right now, I have goosebumps. But yeah, so it's pretty interesting if anybody's ever dealt with something like that. I don't need any closure or anything on it because I'm obviously not with her anymore. I've been a member I want to become a member eventually for you guys. I've only been listening to your podcast for roughly about 2 weeks, being tomorrow. Yeah, I love you guys. Great show. You make me laugh all the time. I wrote you guys on Facebook, but didn't answer back. I'm sure you're probably busy with the move and everything. So I hope to hear this on the podcast, and I'll talk to you guys again soon.
There you go.
Yeah, nothing like a good possession to bring a couple together.
It happens. I mean, that was, I mean, kind of our third date. There was a little possession action going
on. No.
There was a little bit, your head kind of turned almost all the way around, just for a moment.
That could be so wrong, taken so many bad ways.
It wasn't meant like anything. No, I'm pea soup, you know, that sort of.
Okay.
And like, I know this is it. This is the one.
This is the one.
When the possession happens on the first couple of dates, you know it's the one.
Okay.
That should be like I wonder if there's a dating service for people who are like somewhat possessed, or the people who think they're possessed. There's like a dating service for everything out there, you know, today. I wonder if there's anything of that. Date the possessed.
Ehaunting.com.
I don't know. E-possession. I don't know, something where I don't know how would you match it. Is it like possessed and possessed that match up, or is it like someone who feels they have exorcism powers to match up with someone who thinks they are possessed?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It probably doesn't need to be a dating service. It could just be like a, you know, exorcise.me.com, you know, where it's you post your profile and why you think you're possessed, and then you get matched with an exorcist.
That just sounds like you're going to attach your mate to a leash and walk them down the street.
I'm sure, like, you look it up, it's probably some horrible, like, pornographic site that has nothing to do with exorcisms. Something to the effect of, you get matched, the possessed being matched with exorcists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not for dating, it's just to get the demons out. And that's a slogan, to get the demons out.
To get the demons out.
All these genius ideas on this show.
I know.
There's just so
many. I wonder why they don't take off.
There's just so many. Every once in a while you find one and you're like, damn, that was a good idea. My favorite, Yacht Rock Radio.
Okay, are you going to steal the thunder for that again?
Still stealing the thunder for that. I've been enjoying it all summer long.
Okay.
The smooth sounds.
Okay.
I have been. They play a lot of Kenny Loggins on there. They really do.
It is Yacht Rock.
I know. I'm trying to think of the one that's always played. I can't think of it. What's your favorite Kenny Loggins tune? Do you have a favorite Kenny Loggins?
Me Halfway. How's that?
Is there such a thing as a favorite Kenny Loggins
no,
song?
There's
that's
not.
That's a real question. Ashley in Indiana, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. So it's been quite a while since I've sent in a story. This is Ashley from Indiana, and recently we have moved. We went from living in a small apartment in a city to moving about, I'd say about maybe 7 or 8 miles out of town. We're now in a house out in the country, and we have some neighbors, like 4, but anyway, we're out in the country, and this was a couple weeks ago. Some storms had come through and our power went out. And it had gone out, I think, at about 12:30. I just got out of the shower and I was actually in the bathroom when the power went out. So I get a bunch of candles lit, you know, and I'm about to go to bed anyway. But I always sleep with a fan on, so I can't usually sleep with complete silence. Like, I have a hard time falling asleep. So I had the window open, and I could kind of hear the storm and the rain, and it was actually kind of nice. But I couldn't help feeling, you know, like I wasn't alone. I mean, I'm not alone. I have 3 kids in the house with me, but, you know, they're all asleep in their room and everything. But I just kept on feeling this, I don't know, this, I don't really want to say presence, because I don't know, but it just, I didn't feel alone, and I felt like I was maybe being watched. And I hadn't felt like this before in the house. We've been here a little over a month, and I haven't felt anything like this until the power went out. And I thought it was really weird. So I've got my Bible that was given to me when I was a kid, and I've always kept it with me, and I actually have it on my dresser next to my bed. So I got it out, and you know, anytime that I would ever feel scared or something, I would kind of just get it out and, you know, pray and, you know, read a little bit out of it, and it always made me feel better. So anyway, I try to read some, but it's quite dark in my bedroom, and I'm really tired, and I can't really read a whole lot, so I kind of get on my phone, and I just look up some comforting Bible passages, you know, but my phone doesn't have a whole lot of battery life left, and, you know, obviously we have no power, so there's no way for me to charge it. So I just kind of see something. It was something like a prayer that you say, I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was along the lines of, you know, I have, you know, a white light around myself and my family, and, you know, the Lord protects us, and, you know, just something like that. And so I said it out loud a few times, and I started to feel better and more comforted. So and then my son comes in. Actually, he scares the crap out of me because he never gets up at night. This is my oldest son. He never gets up. He sleeps like a rock. And so he just ends up kind of at the foot of my bed, and I was like, "Hello." I was like, what are you doing here?" And he was like, "Oh, I couldn't sleep. I woke up. The thunder was waking me up." Which is really weird, because this kid can sleep through anything, let me tell you, anything. And I just thought it was kind of weird that, you know, the thunder this night woke him up, because it really wasn't that loud. So anyway, he gets into bed with me, and I'm actually kind of thankful for the company, because I was feeling creeped out. And so he gets into bed, and, you know, I blow out all the candles, and we try to go to sleep, and eventually I fall asleep. And it was pretty hot that night, and not having the fan, having the window open was nice, but I just had a really hard time sleeping. And I was dreaming that I was in my bed, in my room, and I just had this feeling that there was this presence to the right side of me. I'm sleeping on the right side of the bed, so I mean it would be right next to me. And I just have this overwhelming feeling that something really negative and bad is right next to me. And in my dream, I'm really trying to pray and get this thing to go away, and I feel like I'm fighting it with all of my will and my might and, you know, my faith. And it's like, it was kind of like a battle against I don't know how to explain it. It's like, it felt very oppressive. And this is the first time I've ever felt anything like this before. And at one point I kind of felt like I was losing. And then I kind of just like mustered up all my will and just was like, no, you know, I cover myself with white light, and, you know, I'm a child of God, and God protects me and my family. And then I woke up, and I mean, it was pitch black in our house, and we don't have any security lights outside, so it's really dark outside too. And of course the power is still out, so I have no fan. It's completely quiet and it's completely dark in the house, and I'm just waking up from this awful dream, and I'm really creeped out, and, you know, I kind of feel for my son. He's still there, and I go back to sleep, and I really don't really think much of it. You know, the next day I'm thinking, well, that's a crazy dream, and we still don't have power the next day, so I really don't have much time to think about it because I gotta deal with three of my kids, and it's so hot out, and yeah, it was just a mess that day, but I just really thought it was strange me having a dream like that and feeling the way I felt before I went to bed and had that, I don't know if, I wouldn't call it a nightmare, but just a bad dream. And after that night, I haven't had another dream like that since, and I haven't really felt the presence that I felt that night. So I don't know if it's just me, or I mean, I don't know. I told my husband, I think he's a couple days ago, and he just kind of rolled his eyes, you know, because I listened to your guys' podcast, and I listened to some other ghost podcasts, and I watch, you know, scary stuff on TV, so he just all says, oh, you know, you watch all that stuff, and you listen to that stuff, and you put it in your mind, and you dream about it, and I'm like, no, this was something completely different, and he just, I don't know. He doesn't believe me, and it's quite frustrating. So if anyone maybe has an idea of what this might have been, it could have just been a bad dream. I don't know. It could have been something else. I'm hoping it was just a bad dream because I don't want to have to deal with anything in our new home, because it seems like everywhere I go, I have to deal with something in our, you know, something spooky, and I, even though I love spooky stuff, I don't really want to deal with it in my home that I gotta be in for the next 30 years. So yeah, anyway, sorry this was so long. Love the show, and I hope to hear this soon. Okay, bye.
So we know electricity can sometimes cause things to happen,
mm-hmm.
but with the power going out, can a lack of it disrupt things to where stuff shows itself?
I don't know if a lack of it would necessarily do that. I would almost think that that would not allow it to feed,
mm-hmm.
you know, for it to be completely gone. If it's like kind of surging and doing weird things on and off, I think that could certainly cause an issue.
Sure.
But the lack of it, I don't know that that would be the case. You know, with her stories, you know, I she's talking about, you know, this house has this and that house has that. You know, she's called in or sent in a couple times now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's so much the house. I think it's more so her.
You think things are following her?
This is more so a haunted person story.
Okay.
And she may not want to know that or hear that, but I think that's kind of more so what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
It's something where I don't think you're going to be able to outrun it. I mean, there may be some way of getting these things to stop following you or to stop your or to lessen your sensitivity to them, but I think it's more so something on the level of sensitivity or something following. Thoughts? Sure.
No, I agree. I just hate to tell somebody, hey, you can't escape it. It's just you.
It's
you know?
Just you. And I don't mean it in a mean way. I'm just kind of telling it based on what we've heard.
I know.
I think that's kind of what we're dealing with here.
I do think she did the right thing with the envisioning of white light.
Sure.
That helps a lot. So I would say continue with that practice.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you for sharing your story, and hopefully things do get better. That's got to be very unsettling to think that, hey, you're here in another house, still got stuff. I think it's more so it's not battling the house, it's battling whatever is following you specifically. So thank you for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, let's hear your story.
Hi, my name is David. I'm from Boston. I've called once before. I don't know if you guys have played it. Unfortunately, I've been kind of busy. Haven't been able to keep up on the show, but I'm going on vacation next week, and I plan to get back on that. But anyway, I'm calling because I've had some really weird stuff going on around my house. Like, there have just, like, been voices at night. And I know it's not anybody in the house because I live with my grandparents. I go to sleep at 7 o'clock. Nobody's talking past that point. And just, I can hear footsteps sometimes, but that's not even the weirdest part. My phone, well, the house phone, has been calling people. Like, I know people are probably going to say, oh, it's just a technical glitch, whatever. But my mother called my house phone today saying that there was a message that she got last night saying, is Jamie okay? Jamie's my older sister's name. She lives with her daughter on the other side of town. You know, I see them frequently. I just talk to her. She's fine. But nobody called her. Like, nobody called her. And she said that the voice sounded like nobody that she knew. And my younger sister called yesterday saying that she got a voicemail from us saying, I think it was something along the lines of, like, are you okay? So I don't know if maybe there's something that's trying to mess with us, or maybe I need to keep my eyes open. I don't know. What do you guys think? Anyway, thank you.
Okay. A phone glitch is one thing, but something leaving a message is another.
Glitches do that all the time. Glitches are always asking for people that,
and getting the names right.
All the time. Totally, totally normal. Now, there's something odd going on there, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming, because he said it's coming from that line, that they're, she's caller IDing it back to that property.
Mm-hmm.
Could grandma be making phone calls in her sleep? Could she? I'm just throwing things out there, you know, kind of, you know, dreaming, and then you do some actions, and I don't know. Does she have a phone in her room? That's another question. I don't know.
Does the grandma live with him?
Well, he said he lives with his grandparents.
His grandparents.
And he said it's coming off of the, out of their phone.
Ah.
So,
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. There's plenty of, I suppose you could say, rational explanations, but it does sound rather mysterious and rather odd. And either someone's doing something when they're in a fairly unconscious state, or you have something paranormal going on.
But you would think you'd recognize the grandparents' voice.
Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I can say is, like, if you're kind of out of it, sometimes, you know, you don't sound like yourself. You make mm-hmm. noises. You kind of sound, meh.
Yeah.
You know, so I could see that maybe being it.
Sure.
But I don't know.
I kind of wonder if you should ask the sister if she's okay. Not like physically, like she's not hurt or something.
Sure.
But like if she's going through something mm-hmm. that you don't realize. Maybe something's trying to bring attention to that.
Maybe it's a cue for the living to.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh. Keep us up to date on what happens there. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hello, Tony. My name's Tracy. I'm a nurse. I'm an LVN. I hate my voice on recording, so if you do use this story, please feel free to read it out loud, because your voice is very, very, very nice over the radio. But I guess I'll get to the meat of it. I have been a nurse since I was 19 years old, very young. I am 36 now, but I have seen, I went into nursing kind of, I didn't believe one way or the other in anything. And now, based on the things that I have seen and experienced, that I've experienced evil, and I have experienced good. I was nursing in Tennessee, and I brought in a man who was dying of cirrhosis of the liver. He ended up being one of my patients. I had come into the room to introduce myself. He told me to get out of his room, and the only good Mexican is a Mexican hanging from a tree. naturally, I was used to the racism in that part of Tennessee. So it didn't bother me much. We just ended up switching. A couple weeks went by, and he started acting very erratically. You know, he was getting close to the end, but he kept screaming his feet were on fire. We had laid, like, ice-cold washcloths over his feet, and he kept trying to hold on to the mattress because he felt like hands were pulling him down through the mattress. And it was a very torturous death, but nothing any of the nurses could give him or the doctors would calm him down. And when it finally happened, the day it finally happened, I was helping the nurse that had him. And she was terrified, as was I, because of the look on his face when he did pass. And when you walked into the room, it was like somebody had sucked the air right out of the room. It was all the hair stood up on your arms everywhere. And she was like, oh my God, you know, just before he died, he was like, don't let it get me, don't let it get me. And she was like, well, you know, Mr. Sosa, what are you talking about? She was like, it's coming through the corner of the wall, don't let it get me. And he passed just a minute or two later with that look on his face. And usually we have residents that come in, and, you know, of course we do vital signs to make sure there's none, but he has to go in there and do a series of tests to make sure he's gone. He did those tests so quick and was out of there. Everybody felt it, even seasoned doctors, the people that came up to pick him up for the funeral home. It was so cold in that room, and it was like automatic terror when you walked in there. It was unexplainable to me, but there was a presence there that really kind of stuck around for a couple days after that. I have so many stories, but I will tell you one more. This is my favorite story. I had a patient who was an elderly gentleman. He wasn't that old. He had diabetes and ended up having a leg amputation. And he was also put onto dialysis. And I would come in there and we would joke, and you know, he was a sailor in the Navy, so he had quite the potty mouth, and he really was not a very religious person. And I remember coming in on Christmas Eve, and I always worked night shift, but he would always wait on me. And he was like, Tracy, I'm not a religious man. I was like, okay. You know, just kind of confused. He never started a conversation with me like that. He goes, but I fell asleep this afternoon, and I had a dream that I was standing behind Moses when he parted the Red Sea. And he said the colors were so vivid, it was like I was standing right behind him. And I was like, wow. I was like, well, that sounds like a lovely dream. And I'm sitting here like, how much medicine did your nurse give you? You know, just, I was like, wow, that's quite a trip. So my shift was ending, and I was like, okay, Mr. So-and-so, you know, I'll see you tomorrow. And he was like, I love seeing you. He was telling me how much he really appreciated me being so nice to him, and that it's easier because when you don't have family and then you have a good nurse that cares for you, it's easier. And I said, you know, I'm quite fond of you as well. So the next day was Christmas. And I went and picked him up a Christmas gift. Not supposed to do that, but that was my own discretion, and a Christmas card. So I go up on the floor, and it's common knowledge that I just love this man. You know, he was one of my favorite patients. And my director of nursing stood in front of me, and I was trying to go into his room. And she was like, Tracy, Mr. So-and-so passed away this morning. And I was like, what? You know, and I don't normally get very teary, but I was quite upset. And she was like, he threw a blood clot in dialysis, and he did die instantly. And I was just shocked because that really doesn't happen. You know, we take great measures for stuff like that not to happen. And then I got to thinking about it, and I had just shared a moment with this man, a pretty big moment, that he was being told, you know, I'm getting ready to take you, and will you follow me, kind of thing. I guess, but that's just something that always stayed on my mind. But I felt the presence there, like a good presence, like a... It's hard to explain. You can't explain this to a normal lay person who is not into the medical field. And I have actually, I think I have seen somebody's soul actually leave their body. It was a very, really light smoke vapor. I've heard it put other ways, like identical to when your tea kettle starts to barely boil and you see that, and it was that quick and that light. But it wasn't all like, you know, it was very, very, very light, like almost a, I would say a feather stroke of smoke that came out the very top crown of this woman's head. And she had suffered and suffered and suffered. And I was holding her hand because I knew it was coming. Because you know when it's coming when you're a nurse. It's very strange, especially being one like me. And I do believe I was born with abilities. I could usually look at a patient sometimes, and I could tell they will be passing within a week. And it would freak my coworkers out. Because I was like, how can you not see it? Do you not see the colors, you know? And they're like, what are you talking about? And I, like I said, I think I have certain gifts that I naively thought everybody else had. So they printed me up a name tag for, you know, gag gifts called the Grim Reaper. Because a lot of patients that I had that were holding on for a long time, they would wait. If I was off for 2 days, they would wait to die until I came in. And if they had somebody that was struggling to die, they would switch me over, you know. But I think it's because how comforting I was. I think just for some reason I understand the natural death passage. But when I get the scary ones, I am very affected by that. And not in a good way. But I do, I never had plans to be a nurse. It just happened. It was a series of things that happened one day that led me into nursing school. And I can tell you about that later if you like. But I have so many hospital stories, and some will just leave you shaking in your boots, and some are beautiful. Just speechless. They will leave you speechless. So regardless, to say, I know there's something there. I know there is something afterlife. So, you know, accept it or reject it. But I've seen it. I've felt it. So it's very important, people. Watch how you live your life. Watch how you treat people. You know, because I do believe it's accounted for. I do believe if you're a horrible person, horrible things come to get you. I just wanted to share my story. It's up to your discretion if you'd like to share or not. But I'd rather you tell the story in your voice, Mark, or whoever. I think you guys are a wonderful team. I subscribe, or I paid money to, you know, be an EPP, and I'm very interested in this program. Also, it makes me feel better when people explain about their gifts they're confused about, because I'm confused about mine still, too, all these years later. They're not like I'm all wizard or anything, but it's pretty obvious that I do have a gift, and many of my family members do as well.
And I really like her voice, so that's why I thought we would just air it as is.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Yeah.
And things like this, when someone tells a story, I can't go back and translate it and reread it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have your story read, you have to write it in order to do that. And it was a good story. And,
yeah.
And when someone's telling their story from their perspective, sometimes it is just best if they're sharing it in their own words. So she did a very good job. And I'd love to hear more stories. I'm always fascinated by some of the stories that we get in from care facilities and such.
Mm-hmm.
It always seems to be very, very intriguing. Some of the scariest and some of the, most, heartwarming ones as well.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You can have both in the same sort of setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know. But thank you for sharing those experiences with us. Both just great.
Yeah.
I love those stories. Thank you so much for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP. That's an extra podcast person. Get all the bonus episodes, more than 101 of them now. All the exclusive video content and so much more. That is what keeps the show on the air. Without our EPPs, we could not continue onward. So if you like what you hear, help us out. Help us keep this thing going. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com and get all the extras. Like I said, keep us on the air. Check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.